In this second half of the show, Daphne Kane and Chris Thomas suggest that the system for electing chief ministers is broken. Chris Thomas, Daphne Kane, both re-elected and both fully engaged and raring to go with Manx politics.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, you can be a bit more enthusiastic than that. Daphne?
I'm convinced that we have two very good candidates, and very different styles, actually. The one thing I took from Alf Cannon's briefing and his manifesto is that he's promising a listening leadership. That came out strongly. A very collaborative, inclusive, somebody who wants to talk and involve the public as well as members in policy formation of the big picture. He's much more positive about things he'd like to see happen in his constituency manifesto than in his manifesto for chief minister, which is a very big contrast with Alex Allenson, who has got some very positive statements about policy changes that he would like to see happen. Even he's going to reversing drugs policy, a decision not to allow import licenses for medicinal cannabis. He will reclassify cannabis as a Class C drug immediately. And I think somewhere it says in 100 days, in the first 100 days, a priority will be rates reform. So good luck doing that in 100
100 days.
Well, it hasn't happened for 100 years. I think Chris knows more about that.
I'm not sure how Dr. Allenson is going to reform rates. So that was that would be my first question. I've got a question down on the House of Keys for the Treasury Minister about what his view on the rates modernisation project, and I would very much like to know how Dr. Allenson is going to reform it. I would like him to do so in the right way.
So rates then, how do you reform rates in 100 days then?
Well, so Tim Wild has adopted a resolution with a plan, a 10-year plan, in October 2019. It was dropped by Council of Ministers. So perhaps Dr. Allenson is giving a compliment to the person who took that reform through, Tim Wald, and he's going
to
do
that.
Exactly.
That wouldn't have been you, was it?
That happened to be me, and perhaps he's saying that that was the right plan and now we've got to do it. That's all I can believe he means, but he doesn't say that as such in his manifesto. So at points it's a bit ambiguous, Dr. Allenson's manifesto, and at other points, again, picking up on cannabis, say, to me it's a bit prescriptive. In the sense that he says here, I will reverse the decision to not allow import licences for medicinal cannabis. Well, that's a good thing, in my view, but no chief minister can say that because that depends on the will of the House of Keys, on the will of Tin Wald, and I was quite surprised how some of those sentences were written from a chief minister. So I would have preferred to say, I propose to try to persuade council ministers to take something to Tin Wald rather than I will do it.
But isn't that possibly one of the messages that you've all had over the course of the last 2 or 3 months from your constituents, who are basically saying, look, we're fed up with this obfuscatory, round the houses sorts of language, and actually we want to know clearly, what are you going to do?
People do want to know that action is going to be taken, that we're not going to go out for another consultation on a consultation result. Alf Cannon also has a few key points that he will do positively. One of them is that the DOI should be broken up into smaller accountable operational delivery bodies. Alf Cannon, I think, is much more wanting policy input from public as well as members. And I didn't see that figuring as yet in the paperwork that I've had from Alex Allenson. But again, I haven't had the conversation with him. And obviously, we're recording this before the hustings for members on Monday morning.
Okay.
And from my point of view, you nailed it. And that's why I put in my policy agenda 2021 for the next 5 years that people deserve facts and opinions presented before the election by candidates and solid debates between potential ministers and backbenchers after it, so that the incoming MHKs can elect a government with a collective and prioritised agenda in line with their mandates. That just isn't happening. There is no difference in the 2021 chief minister election process from the one that happened in 2016. Neither of the candidates offers any difference about how the policy agenda is going to be put together in the next 3 months than happened in 2016. So I do already believe that we've got the risk of hugely disappointing the people who voted and the Manx public in the next few months with the way that the policy agenda is put together.
This was different in that Alex Allenson confirmed and declared his intention to stand for chief minister before the election.
That's
which
true.
Is a brave step compared
and is that
with
why
previously.
Why he lost half of his vote?
We don't know whether that's connected with the Council of Ministers, the government that we've had for recent years that he has been a part of, or whether it's a reflection that some people might read into that some arrogance or ambition that doesn't play well amongst the electorate. We don't know, because Alf Cannon, who was widely tipped to and expected to run for Chief Minister, did not announce until the week before the election of Chief Minister. So, and again, I mean, I was the person who commissioned from Professor Peter Edge, Oxford Brookes University, the wonderful paper about comparing the Isle of Man system of electing a head of government with that of the Pacific island state of Kiribati. And there are possibilities that the Isle of Man could look to evolve to. So on that basis, we could have gone for, I think it would be costed out at about £150,000 for a public vote for Chief Minister a month after the election. But I didn't sense that that was something the rest of Tynwald would readily support.
That's true, and then so I agree with Daphne on that. And also, on the 29th of June, the House of Keys did vote to have the process of a slightly delay to the election, but that's a change that's been made. But they then didn't allow themselves to debate any of the policies and to actually have the candidates in Hansard's making commitments and showing who was in their team. So basically, that's why there's been no change. I tried to put down a policy debate in the House of Keys on Tuesday before the Chief Minister election, and that wasn't allowed. I was told that the House of Keys didn't do policy debates. I tried to have question time asking questions of the candidates before the Chief Minister election, but that's not been allowed. Question time has been held over. There's no precedent. It's just been decided that it will be after the election of the Chief Minister. So essentially, what we're relying on are the same means as we had in 2016, which is a PAG meeting, a Manx radio debate, and then hustings in private in the Borough suite. And that's exactly the same as what we had in 2016. So I'm frustrated in that sense.
Since the ministerial system was established, every Chief Minister who has stood subsequent to Miles Walker has had ministerial experience. Cynics perhaps might argue that that's why we've had the same government for the last 20 or 30 years. Equally, some people have suggested that government got a really bloody nose at the last election, but government reacted rather sensitively when this was suggested on a previous agenda programme. And last week, David Ashford gave a valiant defence to say, actually, no, it's nothing to do with that. Is it reasonable that we've got a vote between two former members of a government that didn't fare particularly well at the last election, aiming to be the Chief Minister?
I think Alf Cannon had a very good vote. I think it was over 2,000. Yep. So how do we know? Because we haven't gone out to the public and asked them in a formal way to vote on the election of Chief Minister. Now, that could have been done at the time of the election if candidates were forced to declare before an election, and it's been considered impossible in case those candidates should lose their seat but get a massive island majority across the island. The possibility of going to a public vote afterwards. So many members are worried. You know, we trust people, we trust democracy to get it right in terms of our election, but we don't trust the public with getting it right for the head of government. And I struggle with that a bit, actually. Mm. I think in terms of the next 5 years and the importance of this role, I would much rather the public had to make that decision than leave it to me, because my inbox, my messenger, social media, it's completely split. And it's split between, it's pretty much like Manx Radio's poll, it's split between the two candidates plus none of the above.
Yeah, and I could completely agree with Daphne. And to go back to rates, just to make a point, we got told in the briefing yesterday by Alf that only two people had talked to him about rates. Tim Johnston, on the other hand, the other successful candidate Aaron Michael, has got in his manifesto that rates is a big issue. Presumably he means that there are lots of people who think they should get a single person discount and water rates are too high or something. It's not clear. My point is, Alf Cannon got 37% of the vote. That's not that much more than quite a few other candidates, and it's much less than some of the new people, like Jane Paul Wilson, like David Ashford. You know, it's more than Kate Lord Brennan. She got down 30% of the vote, but there's loads of votes in Peel, and a number of votes became quite large. So basically, we've got an election system in the Isle of Man that's completely messed up. in several ways. One of those is because we have this pretense of first past the post system with two candidates, but as we allow plumping and as we don't have a focus on national political issues, it's very hard to determine what the votes mean, firstly. And secondly, we don't actually have that much cooperation between the independent candidates in terms of coordinating their manifestos, because candidates have got the idea that the best thing to do is to pretend they're completely independent, because that's what the Manx public is sort of suggesting they want their MHKs to be. So therefore, it's been a perennial issue every 5 years that we've ended up forming the policy and forming the government after the election amongst a little sort of electoral college of 24 people now, previously 33 people, and none of us, I don't think the Manx public thinks that's right, but they end up in that position each time.
I can feel the government press team burning holes in me to suggest that actually I should maybe challenge some of what you're saying there. So, we've
But do you work for the government press team? Sorry.
No, I don't. I don't, absolutely not. But I do get criticised by them. It's fair to say that government's done pretty well when it came to COVID, for example. It's fair to say that over the course of the last 30 years, the Isle of Man has been in a fairly reasonable position. So to suggest that in some way the system is failing dramatically, mm-hmm. maybe an overly strong thing to suggest, but there is a potential for some change. But the old system seems to have delivered reasonable governments in the past. You're listening to MHK's Daphne Kane and Chris Thomas.
It depends what you're basing that on and what's the criteria for measuring the success or otherwise of past governments. Yes, we've had economic growth pretty much over 30 years, but in terms of the inequalities in society that are becoming a real issue and the disadvantaged, the unfair taxation system, you might say, I'm pleased to hear that the economic and taxation strategy that KPMG are compiling, that massive review that will be coming to us soon. I think there's an NI review document that's due to us soon. We have the potential to address things that are really major concerns for a lot of people, including poverty, including housing. So what criteria do you measure the success of a government with increasing use of food bank and poverty that we can't even define, although Social Attitude Survey of 2018, I think there were 32.5% of people who ticked three or more indicators of poverty. So we know that there is huge inequalities and also concerns over health and education. So plus I got on the doorstep, people are ready and waiting for us to do something about climate change, to enable people, to empower people to make those changes, to save money and the planet. But they're not seeing any speedy action in the things that really matter. So yes, the government previously had to deal with COVID, and some cases they've done pretty well. There were a couple of incidences that I think were pretty poor, and a public inquiry might be the best way forward to thresh those out. But in terms of where we go forward and the priorities for the future, it's got to be the gas prices, poverty, housing, and then education, health, things that matter to people. And that comes down to housing, including sustainable housing and climate mitigation measures.
There's about 33% of the vote available to none of the above. So why have none of the above put their names in the election ring here?
You suggested one answer, which is years, if not decades, of the idea building up that this is a recruitment into a team that manages the island in the same way through the decades. And what I'll put against that, to respond to your government press team query later on, is that at the beginning of this administration, according to the opinion polls, which government carries out, 40% of the people were happy with government. And by the end of this administration, only 30% of people were happy with the government. So the turnout figures are not yet available, but turnout has definitely fallen in this election. And it didn't feel as if the public out there was warm towards what was going on in government. They do love their island. They do recognise all the achievements that have been made, but they do believe that there's massive issues to do with housing, massive issues to do with poverty, homelessness oriented, massive issues to do with making up our mind on how we generate electricity and what we do about transport. There are huge things that concern them. So in essence, to answer your question, the way that it works is at the first election, and people have got three choices. They can either vote for Dr. Allenson, or they can vote for Mr. Cannon, or they can vote and they can make a cast on what's called in the standing orders an invalid vote. They are three choices. This happened last, I think, from memory, in 2006, was it? You go back that time, and what happens then is, despite what it says in standing orders about the Speaker being able to come back the following day and immediately take new nominations and so on, what happened then in 2006 was that there was a delay for a week and new nominations were called for. I don't feel that's going to happen, but there is that possibility, and certainly there will be people out there. Daphne's inbox, I'm sure, has been peppered with people calling for her to stand as Chief Minister, just because many candidates suggested Daphne was their preferred choice. Likewise with me, I've had nothing but comments since the general election night that I was wrong, my understanding was wrong. Now that Dr. Allenson has put himself forward, having come second and having had his vote halved, people say, Chris, that itself is wrong. I've had two former chief ministers say I'm wrong and I should put myself into the hat. So that's where we are, you know.
I would certainly add to that. I would agree that yes, it was wrong, but it was in your manifesto, and surely.
And I'm a principled politician, yeah. And so therefore, to me, my honourable thing was to do was to give the two candidates who made it quite clear for years that they will be in the 2021 general election campaign. One of them, completely honourably, in the way that Daphne described by announcing that and putting together the most of his manifesto in his election manifesto, and the other one, who everybody knows is, you know, has upset quite a few civil servants, so it's definitely not the civil service choice, but is there in the mix, and they are the two leading contenders, and we will have an open, reasonable, fair election on next Tuesday, and then the law says that the House of Keys shall nominate somebody to the governor within 30 days, which is the 22nd or 23rd of October, I forget, and you know, we could have another election the week afterwards in the House of Keys after Tim Wood.
I mean, you mentioned there about upsetting civil servants. Many people in the general public would say hurrah for
exactly.
someone who's doing that. I mean, that there are two styles of leadership, aren't there? There's the I demand, I'm the boss style, but there's also the more collegiate approach, where you actually try and empathise and understand the problems.
But I would say that that's what's a bit puzzling between the two manifestos for Chief Minister and the styles that the two candidates have had in their ministerial positions,
yeah.
Because we would have seen Alf Cannon is a very firm speaker. He's been an excellent Treasury Minister. He's a full grasp of everything and speaks well, both in Timwald and in sort of ambassadorial way on behalf of the island or in interviews. Alex is much more of a poker face, probably. We don't see the emotion behind what he's thinking. And yet, of the two candidates, Mr. Cannon is the one who's the listening leadership and waiting for everybody's input and not going to come out and say, I want this, that and the other, apart from a few key points over the structure of government and the boards that need sorting out, for instance, the capital projects unit and that sort of thing. But Alex's manifesto is much more probably left-leaning, but also he talks about having job-sharing ministers, which is, I don't know how that would work legally or practically, but you know, it's in there. So there are there's this contrast between what they say on paper and the styles of politician that we know them to be. And that's the conundrum for me in trying to make a choice between that. It comes down to who do you trust to deliver what they're putting forward. And in terms of who we would appoint as a leader, it has to be a leader who can bring people along with him. And it's about the team that they put around them. And I suppose it's that the thought of a genuine council of ministers who are on the same side and a cohesive group of similar thinking in sort of policy direction terms. And I think that possibly the last government, we always felt that was a bit divided. And divided we fall, and maybe that was the end result, that people could see that there were cracks in that government.
And is that not inevitable, that people who are working in such high pressured roles are going to fall out with each other?
I don't think so. I think although I said that this election was the same as last time, structurally it is, but there is one difference, and Daphne's spotted it and identified it and expressed it, which is that the candidates both noticed that there was criticism of chief ministers becoming presidential. I said it very explicitly in my Isle of Man newspapers interview and had a quite a long discussion with the editor about whether or not he was going to allow me to answer in that way. I argued with John Moss on Manx Radio about this very same point, and I do think that's come across. I do think both candidates, and I agree in terms of the degree to which they are with what Daphne said, are trying to come across as listening, team playing people much more than people ever have previously. And I do think out there in the public, there are people who want a team to be put round those people. But I have a problem with that, because to me, that team should be built in public, in a debate, in the House of Keys, should be demonstrated, and it should be around policy principles and actions that are going to be taken now, rather than just, trust me, I'm listening, I'm a team player.
I'm also frustrated that by the fact, and I didn't support it when Chris Robertshaw brought the original motion and you amended, that we have this extra hiatus of an extra week to deliberate between the candidates. I don't think it will make any difference to the outcome of this. And as Chris said, there is no benefit in terms of policy discussion in public to split the candidates. So I think it's disappointing, and I would really dislike there to be a further hiatus of one or more weeks if a candidate did not secure enough support next week. So I think, although the instinct might be for a number of reasons to abstain, i.e. to spoil your paper, it's almost that there is a responsibility on us to get on with the job that we were elected to do, and ensure that a government is able to be formed quickly so that we can get on with these very important decisions that need making.
The counter to that, though, is that neither of these chief minister manifestos actually mention the voter and the mandates. They don't, you know, so that's very dangerous. The Lord Bishop identified this in 2014. Mrs. Christian picked it up on the debate on 29th of June. There has to be a connection between the mandate that comes from voters in a general election and the policy programme and the government that's implementing that policy programme. And we will never know. You know, to me, it's exactly the same. You know, trust me, people are saying to us, I'm a reform person, I'm a team player, I'm a listener. It's all going to be wonderfully different, but we will not know who the team is going to be. We've got no idea who's going to be either of the People's Treasury Minister or Policy and Reform Minister, except both of us heard yesterday that both candidates are apparently going to abolish the concept of policy and reform, and not explained in the manifestos, but apparently that's what they intend to do. And we don't know what the priorities are except through private hustings in the Brawl Suite, and except through what journalists get out of them on Manx Radio, and what the public and the chairman of PAG gets out of them in the PAG meeting.
As far as the public are concerned, they're only really going to be bothered about 5 years' time. Is my life going to be better?
Exactly.
Am I going to have more money? Am I going to have a house? Am I going to have all the things that I want? Good healthcare, education, etc., etc. Which of the two manifestos, in each of your points of view, is going to deliver the best result for the Manx people?
And neither of them is as good as the Policy Agenda 2021 that Chris Thomas put together in the Douglas Central. You know, call me immodest, but I thought a lot about the facts in it that I chose to present, and the priorities that I chose to present inside that. And that's the case I will be making and have been making to at least one of the candidates who I want to support in the last few weeks. Housing is absolutely most important, having the for all sorts of reasons, having the economy working for even more people than it does work for at the moment is very, very important, and actually making no regret decisions about electricity and about other aspects to do with climate change is very important. Healthcare, there is a process already to reform it, likewise with education. So the top three priorities have to be housing, the economy, and putting down an interconnector.
I wouldn't disagree, but I'd say that Alf Cannon, with his island plan, not to be confused with the planning island plan, but the island plan replacing the programme for government, or the probably more progressive policies that have stated in black and white print by Alex Anderson, I don't think that we will see either of those. I think there's going to be an evolution no matter who is elected to be chief minister, and the policies that need to be delivered are for the people. And they will be, because we are all representing the people, and both have promised the input into that will happen. I think that they're both two very different styles. And in terms of what eventually is the policies to go forward, I hope, well, I think it's by January the people are promising to have the programme or the island plan or whatever it's going to be called. But there's a lot of feeling, certainly, that there are some decisions that need taking sooner than that. Certainly the climate change on the gas, poverty, and also in education terms. So I think there is everything to play for. I agree completely that we do not have a perfect system. I don't know what a perfect system looks like, but this doesn't feel like it is anywhere there.
Two excellent obfuscatory political answers there, and you'll go far, the pair of you.
Thank you.
That was two of the possible none of the above chief ministerial candidates, Daphne Kane and Chris Thomas. But will they have a chance to enter the race? I hope you've enjoyed tonight's agenda. Hopefully by next week we'll have a clear understanding over where we're headed over the next 5 years. But for now, I'm Phil Gorn. Gurumayu. Thanks for listening.